Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. We're glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will get you there. If you just remember my name, jimblasingame.com will get you to my website. And that's where you can find a little bit of small business nirvana. All the things that you need, I think, to help you start, run, and grow a small business, you can find there. In the different resources that we have, the articles, the archives, and a lot of different things that will help you there. Ted Fishman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's back with us. He's the author of China, Inc. Ted is a seasoned financial and economic journalist whose work has appeared in many publications, including New York Times, Money, Harper's Magazine, and on and on. He is has been a trader on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for a number of years. And his book, as I mentioned earlier, is called China, Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Well, so glad to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you, have you back. And, you know, Ted, as you know, a Chinese oil company, CNOOC, or CNOOC, as some people may call it, CNOOK Limited. CNOOC, right, thank you for that, dot limited, is a small international oil company based in China, 71% owned by the Chinese government, but it wants to buy a U.S. company, a California oil company, which is called Unocal. And that's all the news right now, basically, with regard to the U.S. and China. And this really upsets a lot of people, and some people are saying it's not a big deal. What say you?
I think it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. You know, anytime one large oil company buys another large oil company, it's a big deal in itself. When you make it into a Chinese government-controlled oil company, the issues get much more complex. And yeah, as you know, in the last month, there's also been news that the Chinese are buying other kind of bread-and-butter U.S. manufacturing companies like Maytag. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of deal we see over and over in this country, where a private foreign firm or even a government-owned foreign firm comes into the United States, buys manufacturing. You know, the Swiss, the British, the Dutch, they own lots of
The French, exactly. No, if, you know, I think... I saw a survey one time where somebody went into Heartland America and went into a 150,000 person population community that had, you know, maybe 20 or 30 industries, and they asked the average person if they realized that about 9 or 10 of the companies that were where the residents were working at were owned by foreign companies, companies in foreign countries, and they didn't know that.
Yeah,
I think Americans would be amazed at how much foreign investment there is in the United States.
Well, the largest foreign investor in the United States is Switzerland, followed by Britain, and then followed by Holland, and then comes Japan. You know, we all have this fear that Japan had taken over the United States in the 1970s and 80s, but they never got close to Holland and Britain.
Right.
And
there was a big furor over Japan buying America, wasn't there, back in the 80s?
There sure was. And sometimes people, when they look at the CNOOC deal, they make that comparison. But in another way, it's not a fair comparison, because it wasn't Japanese companies that were owned by the Japanese government and had full access to the Japanese treasury that were buying. They were private companies. They had to go to the Japanese capital markets. And, you know, the CNOOC
Even though we now know they were propped up by the government.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we now know that there was a lot of the state behind them, the actual ownership wasn't owned by the country.
The investment decisions, right, were made by the private sector.
So you actually think that the CNOOC's purchase of Unocal is not a good idea?
Well, look at it this way. What if our government took – how would we feel – I mean, how would other governments react to us if our government decided it was in our national interest today to take over ExxonMobil And then as taxpayers, we said, okay, we're just going to open the treasury for ExxonMobil to go buy assets all around the world. There would be a large anti-American reaction around
the
world.
So if CNOOC were, if the government divested itself from CNOOC, and we could confirm that, would you have a problem with it then?
No, I think that would be the kind of deal that we want in this country.
Well, this brings up a very important point. To me, there are three issues that are troubling about – well, two that are troubling and one that's not troubling. Well, and I think you're agreeing with me about the one that's not troubling, and that is that on its face, as a market transaction, you and I both don't have a problem with that. But there are two areas that are troubling. We're going to talk about both of those. One we've touched on, one we haven't. When we come back after these messages, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Ted Fishman. He's the author of China, Inc. We're back at 17 till, Atlanta Rhythm Section. In the background there, Ted Fishman is our guest. He's the author of China, Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. And now when he says challenge, when you say challenges, Ted, you don't mean that as something that's impossible. You just mean that these are things that we're going to have to deal with, don't you?
Yeah, first and foremost, it challenges us to be at the top of our intelligence and to not be complacent, right?
And the top of our competitiveness.
That's right, exactly.
We have to be. You know, and we're talking about this CNOOC transaction, CNOOC, C-N-O-O-K, I'm sorry, O-O-C. Why do I keep sticking the K in there? I think that's how it ought to be spelled, I guess, Ted. C-N-O-O-C is the Chinese oil company that wants to buy Unocal, the California American-based oil company, and that's what we're talking about. You know, Ted, my audience knows that I embrace globalization, I embrace outsourcing. I don't have a problem with it because it's good for us. We just have to rethink the way we do business, and that's going to be a good thing. It's going to make us all sharper. And yes, there are winners and losers, but it's the way the 21st century is going. I don't have a problem with China as a competitor. I think if we think of China as a competitor and a partner over the next 100 years, that we'll be better off for it. So when I put on that hat, Ted, I don't have a problem with CNOOC buying Unocal. But then when I find out, as you know as well, we said earlier, that it's owned very much majority, super majority, by the Chinese government, that gives me pause. And number two, and this is the thing we haven't talked about, and that is that in the last few days, China has been rattling their sabers, haven't they? Tell us what that's all about.
Well, as you know, Taiwan is a very contentious issue between the United States and China. It's an issue that...
Because we think Taiwan should be allowed to be its own nation, and China, the mainland China, doesn't.
Well, we don't officially think that.
Right, but we really do, though.
That might be the wink and the nudge, and China feels that very strongly.
We don't say it diplomatically, but we believe that.
Well, there's only one China that has had a free and open election in its history, and that's the part of China that is on Taiwan.
Right.
And, Americans are partial to free and open elections.
That's
we
right.
like them.
That's right.
But that government is anathematized by the whole world, and the United States plays this very careful balancing act in how we refer to it.
But in the last three or four days, China has made some very troubling statements, haven't they?
Well, one of the hallmarks of the legitimacy of the Chinese government on the mainland is its nationalism. And part of that nationalism is this claim that Taiwan is completely, unquestionably part of all of China.
It's the one China.
It's the one China. And people are very strong about it. Even as an American, having dinner with a person in China, things can go along very nicely and swimmingly. And then conversation will turn very rapidly and ugly towards Taiwan, and you'll find yourself getting screamed at over the Chinese issue.
It's like bringing up religion and politics at a dinner party,
right? It is religion.
Right?
It's not like religion. It is religion. It's part of the Chinese religion.
Right. But tell us what...
And this general said that if the United States moved to defend Taiwan in any kind of conflict, that because China has a weak military, but it does have a nuclear capability, that it would find itself in the position of having to use its nuclear weapons against the United States.
And that's the last thing in the world that people trying to do the CNOOC-UNICAL thing wanted to hear.
Yeah, there's nothing.
There's no way they know. There's no way they wanted that general to be saying things like that, because that made everybody back up. All the people like me who might have tended to say, you know, maybe this is okay because we you know, the company's own. I mean, we didn't mind letting Daimler Benz buy Chrysler.
Well,
and
you know,
so
very,
and so
very,
why would we mind this? But yeah. Then, but Germany didn't say we're going to shoot a nuclear bomb at you.
No, 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 no. In fact, it would be as if, you know, Daimler Chrysler, if Daimler were buying Chrysler, you know, out of pre-World War Germany, and
right.
Hitler were taking over countries. You know,
right.
It's not what you want to hear from your business partners.
Exactly.
And
from an economic standpoint, from a market standpoint, the transaction, I think, is okay. But from a geopolitical standpoint, it's not.
Well, look at what the congressman in the House Armed Services Committee were talking about last week in hearings on this deal. They were complaining that when you match statements like the general's against economic deal by a government-owned oil company, and that oil company is buying assets, oil wells that are in Indonesia and other countries in Southeast Asia, then what that does is it tells you where China intends to project its power over the long run. It doesn't have a navy right now, but it is the world's largest shipbuilder. It is spending more and more on its military. So what this deal tells you is that China hopes to have to be a strong enough regional power to protect those oil assets.
Mm-hmm.
That means a military power.
That
makes China from an economic issue in the United States to a political issue. And this CNOOC deal has changed the discussion of China very rapidly from being
mm-hmm.
an economic challenger to a geopolitical challenger, and that's when you have congressmen and senators getting involved.
And they did get this. The House of Representatives did get involved last week, didn't they?
They got involved.
What did they do?
They held hearings on the House Armed Services Committee. The statements from the lawmakers were quite strong, not uninflammatory in themselves, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
The Energy Committee will have hearings next week, and then the Senate will be taking up the issue, too.
See, the unfortunate part about all this, to me, is that the politicians are getting involved. I mean, I guess if I were in Congress and I knew all these issues, I'd feel compelled to certainly get to the bottom of this to make sure that nothing untoward was happening, and which sounds like it very well may. But it does bother me when we turn to government to sort out a marketplace issue. As a free trader, I just don't like that. Stand
well,
by, Ted. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll get Ted's thought about this on the other side of these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till as Joe Cocker. Ted Fishman is our guest. Ted, give us your website, please.
It's www.chinainc-book.com.
Chinainc-book.com. It's called China Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. And folks, it's not just a book on China, it's an important book. On what's going on in the world, and I encourage every small business owner to find out what Ted has to say in this book, even if you just go to the library and read some of it, because Ted, you've done a great job of opening our eyes about a lot of things on China. I do think that we need to do business with China and try to bring them into the neighborhood of free economies. But we also have to be—we can't be naive. We have to be realistic about where they are in their evolutionary journey of becoming part of this community, part of this neighborhood. And they're not quite ready for prime time, are they, Ted?
No, that might be the good news about the CNOOC deal, Jim, is that it could be a lever to get some of the rules we want. You know, so far our attempts to get China to change the rules to really provide a free trade platform for America going in and selling China things has been to just try and persuade, make the logical case.
Right.
Now here's a case where we have real power. We say, hey.
So what could we say? Could we say, all right, government, divest yourself?
Yeah, we say this is a totally fine deal if it's the kind of deal we're accustomed to, a private company buying into our private marketplace.
But wouldn't they just put up a straw man ownership type of thing? And it, when it really was, you know, in the background would be owned by by the Chinese? I mean, we really can't trust them in something like this, can we?
Yeah, it's already a straw man, right? It's a publicly traded company.
Yeah, it is on the New York Stock Exchange.
But it just so happens that the Chinese government owns 71% of the shares, right?
Right.
You know, one test might be to see what would happen, wait and see what happens when an American company tries to buy an important Chinese company.
It would never happen. That was the point I was about to make, Ted, is that the same thing that we're debating in the United States wouldn't even be a debate in China, would it?
Right. I mean, maybe that would be one of the conditions. Look, it's a kind of pie in the sky scenario. Say,
right.
Hey, we'll let you come in and play and buy this company, but you know, as soon as you don't let us play, we'll just expropriate assets.
we'll do what you do. Is it true that the Chinese own a boatyard, a shipyard in San Diego?
You know, I don't know whether that's
Do you remember
true.
That? You remember that rumor that was going around during the Clinton administration?
Yeah,
there was something.
I never followed up on that.
I really don't know for sure, but I remember that was a big deal back about 6 or 7 years ago.
Well, industrial espionage has also been one of the big deals, and you know, the Chinese are the world's largest shipbuilders now, and
right.
They're a shipbuilder at the very top of its game. You know, they can make the most sophisticated ships that anyone would order.
Do you believe, now you've been over there, you've studied these folks, the Chinese, do you believe that communism will ultimately dissolve and as capitalism grows in China, and apparently it is growing, it's maybe a defective form, maybe it's not as the same kind of capitalism as other countries have, but it is growing to some degree, do you think that communism will dissolve?
I'd have to say it is dissolved already, that it's been replaced by an economic elite that has the name Communist Party.
Right. So is that a good thing?
It's better than the alternative, than the alternative.
So what's the in the evolutionary process? You know, in America, our evolutionary process is that we amend our laws and we make new laws and they conform to the times. What is the next evolutionary process in China from a government standpoint?
You know, it's something I puzzle over because there's two impulses there. One is the party's desire to stay in power at all costs.
And the important operative word in what you said is the.
Yes,
right.
There's only one party,
right.
Of course, and it's self-appointed, self-perpetuating. Inside that party, there's true love of country. At the very top, the leaders, I believe, have a very strong affection for their country, for its history, for its ethnicity.
Will China be democratic in the next 50 years?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that long? Wow.
No, I don't think so. A lot of people,
And therefore, pardon me, Ted, we've got to wrap it up, but therefore, that's the challenge in doing business with them, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they can only open so much if the party needs to keep legitimacy at all costs.
And we can only trust them so much. Ted, thank you for being here. Good job, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, the author of China Inc. The book is ChinaInc-Book.com, right, Ted?
That's right.
All right, China Inc. And it's dashbook.com. It's available wherever books are sold. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.